Ereš intervju.
Dober večer, pozdravljeni v Ereš intervjuju. Tokrat se pogovarjamo z Jayom Scotlanderjem, vokalistom bristolske kaotične in eksperimentalne hardcore zasedbe Knives, ki bo to nedeljo 29. junija nastopila v ljubljanski Gala Hali. Gre za šestčlansko zasedbo, katere člani se ne bojijo na glas povedati, da v svojem zvoku negujejo vplive zasedb, kot so Gorillaz, Rage Against the Machine in Linkin Park. Hkrati pa s pomočjo klarineta začinijo še tako preproste hardcore kompozicije. Knives so nedavno izdali prvenec Glitter, o katerem je kolegica Nika Štrus pripravila tudi tolpo bumov. Več o nastanku zasedbe, njeni žanrski umestitvi, o snemanju plate in računalniški igrici Heroes of Might and Magic 3 pa v intervjuju.
So here I am with Jay from the band Knives, coming hot from Bristol. We've met last year at the second Impact Fest and I was blown right away because, yeah, the band was really doing something that I wasn't prepared to see at that festival, I guess. It was like a little bit different. And now we get a chance to hear everything about it. And finally, somebody from the band will explain what the hell they're playing, because, yeah, we were talking with a bunch of people already how to describe your sound. So hello, Jay.
You're right. Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm right. Hot. It's very hot in Europe, as I'm sure everyone knows. It's fucking hot. And there's no exception in England. I am, yeah, dying. But I'm excited because I get to come to Slovenia in a week, country I've never been to. And yeah, I was just counting down the days, really.
So when is your tour starting?
So tour starts on Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday the 26th. We're driving to the south of France, day one, then into Nîmes for a festival, south France, then a festival in Girona, and then we've got to drive overnight from Girona to Ljubljana.
Okay.
Which is, it's a big drive in very hot heat, so we'll see how we're going to feel when we get there.
So tell me everything about the band now. You just released this year your album Glitter. This is also your debut album.
Yeah, so I'm not really like with the name, like everyone always asks me what the name means, which I think is a good place to start, and it's not really got any good meaning. Like when we'd written the entire album, we hadn't got a name for it, and we were all just throwing ideas at it, nothing was sticking and nothing was like it, and I one night I just went, oh, the word glitter is just a cool word. And that was because I saw the Boston Manor album called, I think it's called Glue. And I was just like, oh, glitter is a cool word. Let's just roll with that. And then that's what happened. And that's the name. But like I said, it's got no deeper meaning. It's just songs about people or situations where I've seen things in real life and it's kind of annoyed me or fucked me up or been with people I deal with. So I mean, someone compared them to diss tracks, like in hip hop, because it's obviously hip hop orientated. But yeah, it's going well. I'm very happy. I'm very proud of the album. And I feel like people are really enjoying it and loving it. And we did the tour and met so many like fans in different places that I could never have in my wildest imagination imagine having fans. And it's just super cool.
Yeah, my friend just reviewed the album for the radio. And I think she wrote somewhere near the end, so the world is going to hell, but hey, let's glitter it up.
I like that. I like that. It's a tagline.
Yeah,
I thought
it was fitting because, yeah, you can feel all the anger from the album. Each song has its own really specific, I guess, yeah, this. But it somehow, like, make makes a lot of sense since we live in a really strange and hyper-real times. So,
Dude, it's so wild right now. The world is such a crazy place. Like, I'll just be on Twitter, which is like the worst app in the world, but it's really good for football news. So that's the only reason I have it. And that's the only thing I use it for, is just to see like football updates, because I unfortunately was given the love for football at a very young age. I can't just drop it, even though I hate the culture. I hate it, but I still love watching it. And it's a good thing I can do with my family and stuff. So anyway, I was on it, and there's just like always right-wing politics being shoved in my face. And just the most dystopian shit. Like, they're a fucking... The way that, like, countries' armies have their own social media and they tweet about how what they're about to do is just so crazy to me. Like, it just blows my fucking mind that, like, there are countries bombing and killing innocent children and they're fucking tweeting about it.
Yeah. How they are defending themselves, right?
How they defend themselves is crazy, but I just think it's so wild that they're tweeting like, oh, we're going to do this tonight, the whole world's going to feel it, and it's just on a fucking social media. Like, I just can't wrap my head around like
how
wild the world is for that to be a thing that's happening in this day and age. But, you know, that's, that's just the world we live in, right?
Yeah.
And I guess that's where all these songs, like the main motivation behind writing that album came from, is just seeing how shit things were and writing about it. And I mean, the music's like, we always have this thing where we're like, we're trying to write pop music, but in like a heavy way. So they've got to be catchy, which is just a nice juxtaposition on the fact that all the topics are kind of bleak and dark. And but the music, I think, can be quite catchy and stuff for someone to, there's like stuff for people to sing along to. So. Kind of like,
but and I also I think you get these questions a lot, like what were your influences, and probably trying to fit in all these crazy genres, because it's like, it's so hard, you know. I was also talking with George from Death Goals, and it was like, how would you describe them then? And then we're like trying to find all these niche genres and then combine them. And
I think for me, like when I started doing music, I was like super into hip hop music. It was like the first thing I truly, like the first music I remember liking as a kid was Gorillaz. And they obviously had loads of hip hop features. And then when I was like 12, I started getting into like 90s rappers and stuff. And like my mom was showing me all these cool rappers and like Linkin Park and Rage Against the Machine. And then I was combining like the Rage Against the Machine sound with like the hip hop sound. And when we first started, I was actually like kind of going for like a more of a noise band, like Daughters-y kind of approach to things. And then I had all these raps I'd written when I was a kid. And my girlfriend was like, why don't you just do that over the music? And so I did. And then it kind of just turned into what it is now, where I think it's a lot more hip hop influence. So I think hip hop is probably the biggest influence for me personally on how the music's kind of written. But Rage Against the Machine is like the band I think we sound the closest to, which I know it doesn't sound like that at all. There's just so many different influences being pulled. But yeah, I think if you ask anyone in the band, though, this question, they could give you a different answer. Like, you'll get The Armed and Idols and Dits and all these other crazy bands. Like, I'm super, super into mathcore as well. Like, one of the reasons I started doing vocals was because the Callous Dowboys. And that's like mathcore, so that was like another reason I was like, oh, I could do vocals in a heavy band, because they do kind of spoken word stuff. And I heard that and I was like, oh, I could do that. And then it's just, there's so many different things. And I'm also super into like Brazilian samba music, and I know that doesn't really shine through, but that was like the reason I think the horns came into it and stuff.
Wow. Yeah, for sure. I could hear all these things now that you're like that you're describing now. But how did you all end it together in a band? Like, did you know everyone from before?
So Josh, the guitarist, I've known since year seven, secondary school. So we would have met when we were like 10, 11. We started playing our instruments at basically the same time. So I started playing drums because I'm originally a drummer, and he started playing guitar, and we were just jamming together. And we were kind of always like, let's be in a band. And it never kind of really materialized till I moved to Bristol. This was in Oxford. I moved to Bristol, and then I was like, you should come to uni here and we can do music together. And then I met the drummer, Aaron, at uni, and I put some, like, I think I put in a drummer's group chat because we were doing a drum course. I put like clowncore in it. I was like, I want to make some music like this. Anyone want to do it? And Aaron messaged me, and I just like never got back to Aaron. I think Aaron hassled me for like 6 months, being like, yeah, we should do this band. And then after that, it was just kind of up from the local like music scene. Like, I knew Dan from, he was playing in another band called To Touch the Face of God, and I was in a band called Vicarage, and we were kind of playing gig skills. So I knew Dan through that. And then Ben just met at university. He was a year below me. And then Izzy was 2 years below us at university. And then our old saxophone player, Maddie, is my partner, who I've been with for 6 years. So she just kind of wanted to be involved. I think she actually made a petition once to let her join the band, and then got all our friends to sign it, and then it kind of just happened. She's doing like nail tech stuff now. She's not doing the music stuff so much anymore. She's like a very talented nail artist and killing that. And you know, that's what she wants to do, but she's obviously still on the record and played a big part and still does all our graphics and stuff, and is like almost a member in spirit, if that makes sense. So we all just kind of went through the music scene in Bristol and university, and then it just, I don't know. When people ask me, like, how did you get to where you are, I still don't know. Like, I still feel like that band 2 years ago that was just playing, like, these tiny venues and stuff like that. I feel like it hasn't hit us yet. Maybe we're doing a bit better than we kind of originally anticipated.
So you started 2 years ago?
Our first single came out 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of say that's when we started. We played a few shows before then.
Okay.
Because a few of us have been in bands before, we kind of agreed that we should record an EP and do everything before we start gigging.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got stuff to release when we get that like gigging hype going. So we did all of that, and we played a few gigs, and some pretty good gigs, to be fair. We played with like Soul Glow and Life and some, you know, fairly well established bands who kind of really helped us, to be fair. Yeah,
you're playing for like 2 years, so you met last year, which was like 1 year of you actively playing music, and I feel like that you already did so much. Like, I've seen some stories where you were like at these bigger crowds and releasing all this music as well, album even. So how can you do all this? And are you doing it alone? Or are you working with any records, I guess?
So the first EP we did fully on our own. Fully funded ourselves, everything. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of hard work. And that did quite well, like, in terms of, like, our expectations. It blew us out of the water. We sold out our first, like, proper headline release show, which was really cool. And then a label got in contact called Hound God, who wanted to help with our second EP. Because by the time we'd released the first one, we already had the second one recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And ready to go. So he helped us get the next one ready, and a couple of booking agencies got in touch, or like promoters and stuff, and we started getting some better shows. And then we did the Europe tour, our first one, in October of 2023, which was like, god, it was about 3 weeks away, and I think it was like 18 shows.
Oh my god.
And it was insane. Like, we sold out like 4 or 5 shows in France. And we did it. The reason I remember saying to everyone, was like, oh, I'd like to do a Europe tour, because I feel like that would be a way to kind of stamp our name as a band that is almost serious. And like, we want to do it and we want to take it as far as we can go. So I booked that whole tour myself. I was just messaging French, like smaller French promoters, being like, look, we're this UK band, we want to come.
And they all like did their absolute best to promote it, and like made all the shows were really good. And I had a couple of friends in Spain who helped us put on some shows in Spain. We did two shows in Spain. And you know, we just really like did that so that we show other, like people would see it and be like, okay, this is a band that wants to go to places and do something. So we did it. And on the drive back from Spain, everyone flew home and it was just me and my driver. We got an offer from a booking agency that we're with now, with our lovely agent Lee, who's like the absolute best in the whole world. I love him to bits. He's just an amazing guy, to come join Upsurge, who at the time had like people like Speed and Super Heaven on it and stuff like that. So it was like quite a big deal for us. We were like, fuck, these are some really big bands. And after we said, yeah, we want to do that, we had an offer for 2,000 Trees within like a couple of days. Like, I wasn't even home yet, and we had an offer for 2,000 Trees, which was just insane. And yeah, and then from then, it was just really like, okay, well, we've got a bit of a base, we've got a bit of a listener. And I think maybe we had 2,000-3,000 listeners on Spotify monthly. And we were like, okay, that's a good number. Like, I feel like that's enough people that would, like, you know, maybe want to hear an album. And we'd already been writing songs. And yeah, we just kind of put the album, finished it up, finished, like, got all the songs together and recorded it in Wales. And then Marshall got in contact with us for the album, who were like, we want to sign you. And we signed with them. Here we are. Sorry, there's a load of cars going past. Who signed with us, signed us, and then here we are, you know, 2 months after the album, month and a half maybe, and it's couldn't be going better, really. We're just kind of, yeah, still in a bit of shock at how many people are listening to it and how people have reacted to it.
That's so cool. And so you mentioned that you are all still at uni, or, okay, so you met at uni, but are if you're still studying or working, can you find time, like, since there is like, how much people is in a band, like 6?
Yeah.
How do you manage all this? Like, do you just book the studio and then go and like do everything in like a few days, or how does the process of like
our album, we booked an entire week off and stayed at the studio for a whole week to record. We were all there for the whole week, and we just, yeah, it was a really cool experience. So kind of like, we slept at the studio, there were like dorms and everything, kitchen, and we just stayed there for the whole week and recorded it. It was wild. I don't think a week was long enough, to be honest with you. Not that it doesn't, like, I really love how it sounds, and I wouldn't really change a lot. You're always going to want to change some things, right, when you hear it. But just like, we were doing solid days. Like, we were waking up at 9, recording at 10 till like midnight every night with our producer Dom, who's again just such a hard worker and smashed it. But if we didn't do that, it wouldn't have got done. But yeah, it was really difficult, to be honest with you. Like, I had to do all my vocals basically in a day, well, within 24 hours, and obviously I was doing 3 or 4 takes per song and really giving it like everything. And it made me really, I was really unwell for like a week afterwards. I completely strained my voice to kind of get the best takes. And yeah, it was tough.
And how are you, when you're working on new music, how are you working on it? Like, are you the one who is writing all the lyrics and then everybody else do their part, or is there like a main songwriter?
So, me and Ben write most of the music ourselves. So me and Ben will write entire songs, and maybe people will tweak little bits, but it's predominantly me and Ben. Dan wrote Doppelganger, that's the only one he wrote. But yeah, me and Ben will write a song, we'll bring it to people if they like it or they got ideas. Yeah, so we'll just tweak here and there. But yeah, a lot of it's just written at home by one person. I've written all the lyrics because they're quite personal. I struggle to deliver lyrics that other people have written, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm trying to deliver off emotion, so I tend to write all my lyrics. I think I've written everything apart from, there are a couple of songs on the album where I have a friend called Ewan who was sat with me while I was writing them, who's also a vocalist in a band, who just kind of pitched in here and there. Post Macho on the album was actually written, funnily enough, by my friend Ben, because we were just hanging out and I was writing music and he wrote some riffs and he was like, yeah, whatever. So he's got credits. Like, all these people are credited on the album of people that have helped and stuff. But yeah, there are a couple of people that pitched in with some riffs and some lyrical ideas. But yeah, a lot, like most of it's written. Like I said, I've done like 95, 99% of the lyrics and then maybe 50% of everything else. And Ben's done 50% of the writing. A lot of the saxophone parts will be written by me as well. And then given to Izzy or whoever was playing it at the time. So yeah.
Okay. And also most important question. I read that you were playing a specific game while you were recording the album. It's Heroes of Might and Magic 3. So we need to know your tactics on your favorite castle you're playing.
So, obviously, Necromancer.
Why obviously?
Because it's the best one.
Am I missing something?
What do you mean? If you can get the... I don't know what the actual item names are called because I've done it so many times that I don't even pay attention to it. But basically, you can get... You know how Necromancers respawn skeletons every time they fight?
Yeah, yeah.
If you get to Necromancy at expert level... you respawn a lot of skeletons every time. So for one, if you just do that, you can stack like hundreds upon thousands of skeletons and that will kill a lot very easily.
Yeah. But
the secondly, if you're playing on the original with the DLC stuff, like the stuff, not the remastered edition, you can get items and when they're combined, instead of respawning skeletons, you're respawning power liches, which are obviously like level 4 ranged ones, so you can stack like thousands of level 4 units which just eat through everything. It's ridiculous. So that's my strategy, go for all of that and then just decimate the board. But I actually haven't played in a while, to be fair. I sold my computer, so I've got a laptop now, so I'm gonna reinstall. But yeah, that's the tactic. But I'm glad you asked, because
that sounds like really thought through. I always went for the castles. I like the creatures the most, like dungeon because of Medusa or that green thingy forest because of horses.
The dungeon, that's stable. Stable's pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah.
But dungeon's great. The dungeon music, while you're in the dungeon castle, like in the home, is like the best music in the whole fucking game. It's so dramatic for no reason. I love that.
I love the whole soundtrack, but yeah, to be honest, I also love the dungeon sound.
The soundtrack is phenomenal. It is, in my opinion, is top 3 games of all time.
Yeah, easy.
But easily. And I've got hundreds of hours on that game. Like, I've been playing it, like, I think it came out in 1998, which was before I was born, but my brothers played it. And I remember being like 5 years old playing this game, and I still play it to this day. Which I think says a lot about how good that game is, because I've been playing it for like 20 years.
Yeah.
But also, it's just so easy to sit down and play it. On tour, on the laptop. It's just, yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's so bad. I have it installed on my work, like, computer at my job, and I play it if it's not very busy in the shop, and I'll just get it on and play it at work.
That's a good idea.
Right?
But yeah, love it. Like, I never played much games, but like this one would be like always from since I was a child and didn't even understand English, I would still play it.
It's funny because I feel like nobody knows about it apart from like people who are between the ages of like 25 and 35. That's the only demographic of people that know it. And I know it's got a massive following in Eastern Europe, like in Russia and Ukraine and the Balkan countries. Like, I know online's got a massive player base over there, which I think is just really funny that that's a game that's stuck with that region of the world. I've got a couple of mates into it now, so we all sit and play games sometimes. Like I said, it's been a while, but...
okay, maybe we can set a tournament before the sound check.
Yeah, well, we can get a hot seat going at the venue, if you want.
Oh my God, yeah, we could.
Yeah, we can do that. Like, I'm up for that.
That would be amazing. Oh my God. Yeah. Heroes of Might and Magic and then the concert, and that's like, that's a perfect Sunday.
Oh man, I'm so excited. It's going to be so good. And I was talking to one of my university teachers the other day, and he's saying that Slovenia is his favorite country in the whole world, and we're going to absolutely love it. So,
oh yeah, you will. So yeah, I'm so looking forward. You're coming here on Sunday, 29th of June. So that's like in just a little more than in 1 week.
Yes, yeah, just over a week.
It's going to be amazing, and I hope a lot of our listeners will come and enjoy the heat with us.
Yes, it's going to be stupendously hot. It's going to be ridiculous, but we're going to have a good time. So that's all right.
Yeah, I also think that. So thank you so much for your time.
No worries.
That's what I wanted to ask you. So thank you again, and see you in a week.
Hell yeah. See ya.
Rush intervjuju smo tokrat gostili Jaya Scotlanderja, frontmana bristolske kaotične hip-hop hardcore zasedbe Knives, ki bo to nedeljo 29. junija nastopila v Gala Hali v Ljubljani. Intervju je pripravila Sara Šabjan.
RS Interview.